Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Yeshua said to them, the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ shall suffer and on the third day rise again from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them, was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts present be worthy of thy hearing. Amen.
Amen.
Kids watch imaginary FX superheroes every Saturday morning and maybe every day of the week now with COVID. They are amazing, these FX creatures, as they jump from the highest roof to the ground and don't get hurt. They fly in the sky faster than a speeding bullet, and they save kids who are being held by an evil monster. And all these shows are fake, just created for your kids' enjoyment and to let the parents sleep a little bit on their day off on a Saturday. Well, this morning we are reading together about an amazing experience that really, really happened. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the real superhero, is about to leave this earth, this planet, and rise or ascend into heaven to join his Father God, in heaven. Now, some people feel the Bible is full of fairy tales, and it's not only for the superstitious people. That's what people think. Well, I don't. I don't feel that way at all. I don't think the Bible is made up of superstitions. As you probably have heard from me before, it was in November 81 when I finally got the understanding from my head to my heart. It was a big deal to finally understand who Jesus was and ever shall be. He is my Lord and Savior. And I know there's people here in this room that finally came to that conclusion. And there's people viewing this at home, and they've also come to that same conclusion. But I also believe there are people that have never yet quite crossed that Rubicon. The Bible became a passion for me once I became converted to the relationship with Jesus. And I wanted to read the book. I wanted to understand the character of God. I wanted to know God. I discovered a real purpose for studying the Bible. I was a small businessman. I was also a husband, a father. I was a friend. The letters B-I-B-L-E is familiar to most of us. It might even be described as a song. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. I guess you could almost liken it to a person taking off on a plane when the pilot comes on and tells them what to do just before they lift off. And this is clearly what Jesus was doing with the 11 disciples just outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, just down toward Bethany, and I've been in the area. Nobody seems to know exactly where it is, but there's lots of speculation. You can't be far, because it's a very small area, so it's either here or there. So if I go to both, you'll be covered, having said I was there. The last day on earth he was living was at that location as a human. Jesus is instructing his followers just before he ascends into the clouds to return to the Father, our God. He made these statements. So it's Ascension Day. It marks the last appearance of Jesus to the disciples after the resurrection. It's 40 days. 40 days after Easter Sunday. It always falls on a Thursday. So we are indeed celebrating it on a Sunday. That's the option we have. But it's a wonderful opportunity to realize. 10 days from Thursday is Pentecost, which marks the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. For some of us, it's titled the birthday of the church. The Ascension Sunday is special. To me and to all believers, the Bible is a guidebook. It's not a rule book. I used to think it was. But it's a guidebook. It's a book I once thought was full of restrictions and shall nots. And maybe you do even today feel that way. But my mind was opened up, as it says in this book this morning. Understanding is a book about freedom. That's what I found. I found it was a freedom, peace, and a better life. What I was fearing would be restrictions was exactly the opposite. And that's a conclusion most of us have to get to at some point. Being a follower of Jesus, he's your Savior. He gives you freedom. He gives you peace. And he gives you a better life. And that is what we discover over this last 40 days from Easter to Sunday. There's much genuine proof that Jesus was sent by God, walked the earth, and assembled a group of people who slowly, slowly came to the truth of who he was and is. They learned that God had a plan for him, for them, and for all of us, each of us, and it's a better and more glorious plan than the prince of the world that has a mind for us. Yes, we are in a war, a spiritual war for our minds, our souls, and our bodies. It's a war with the evil one, trying to distract us, each of us, from our eternal destiny with Jesus. Then Jesus, it says, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And you can't have that experience unless you get in the book. Unless you make it your choice daily to read the Bible, to get into it from cover to cover. Pick a spot to start. If you need any guidance, call me or a friend. But the bottom line is we need to get our minds and our understanding about what God has in mind for us. So today we discover Jesus reminding the disciples, growing their understanding, enlightening them with wisdom for their mission that they're going to continue in his name. Jesus declares to this group, the 11 disciples, and very likely there's a few other faithful followers. I would suggest that Mary, his mother, was there. I would say Mary Magdalene was likely there. Possibly James, his brother, was there, who was himself an unbeliever until the end. And then he became, you know, the first bishop, if you will, of Jerusalem. But I believe they were all together. And he said, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, in the Psalms. That's why at Christmas time and Easter we can go right to the scriptures and define exactly the prophecies before he was even born. Everything is fulfilled, my friends. Everything. From the Lord coming to the earth as a baby born of a young virgin, born in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate from God in the final chapters, he was 33 years later that he was suffering. And he was put to death. And there was a reason for it. For our sins, your sins and my sins. And then he was resurrection. His resurrection took place for our forgiveness and life eternal. Everything was now fulfilled. Everything he had to accomplish in the 33 years was achieved. And Jesus wants them, us and us here today, to grasp completely that his life, death, resurrection, and ascension creates a new reality for all of God's children. There is a paradigm shift for you and for me. And it was significant if you were a Jew of the day. It was significant because that shift meant that temple sacrifices of animals were no longer necessary and should stop. Jesus did it all. The act of repentance and remission of sins, my sins and your sins, is now complete in a totally new way. Jesus is teaching this new covenant, a new reality. He says, my death is all that's necessary from this day forward. Repentance and remission of sins is accomplished by my sacrifice, Jesus said. Once, now, and forever. Always. And we have the Bible. We have received the basic instruction before leaving earth that Jesus taught. In Acts, we hear an even more detailed command. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes from you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, including a little community called Carlton Place. You are my witnesses. You know the truth. You will be equipped and enabled to do this by a power from God. He's the Father Almighty, and he's my Father, Jesus said. And then he said, wait, it is coming soon, very soon. With the gathered community, now clearly about their mission, Luke tells us that Jesus lifted up his hands, blessed the people before him, and while he was blessing them, he left them. He departed and was taken up into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, sent by God to be the ultimate blessing for all God's children for 33 years, now lifts up his hands and blesses the people in his final act. And then he left them. And he was taken up to heaven. These people gathered, these witnesses, they were left behind for a purpose. Left behind, however, with a promise soon to be fulfilled, in 10 days actually from the event. The promise that the Holy Spirit would be powerfully entering each of these people to enable them to accomplish the goal that Jesus has before them. So Jesus returns to his Father, totally aware, completely certain that what he came to do has been established and will happen. And the next leg of the journey is to be carried out. The good news is to be proclaimed by the appointed brothers and sisters that were present there, those people that were created in God's own image, just like you are, just like I am. My friends, we too are witnesses. We're witnesses to the good news of salvation. Men and women who are equipped by God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit present within each of us who accepts Jesus as a Savior. But that's the key. The Holy Spirit comes to those who accept God's Son makes a decision that you will be their Lord and Savior. And they're the ones who are to witness that Jesus will come again. It's a promise, and a likely promise that God will give and complete soon. Here we have, as I'm heading into our last parts of the comments I wanted to make this morning, this Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's a clear indication. Read the book. Left behind? Yes. But he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. You don't know the hour. Jesus made it clear. They were asked. He asked them. You don't know the day. You don't know the year. But he is going to return to this planet. The same way you see him go up into heaven. And then this truth is clear. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet from God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left behind, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. My friends, this is clearly talking about what we now refer to as a rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's alluded to by these very statements. The Latin actually is where the word rapture comes from when you translate what we just got on the screen. There is a rapture and it's coming. We don't know the hour, we don't know the time. On a personal basis, the world is going to heck in a handbasket. I can't help but think that's a pretty good indication of what is coming, not that in the distant future. This is the time. I believe it's very near. Question is, are you going to be left behind? I say don't be left behind. Because what happens to those of us that are not being lifted up into heaven at the rapture? We have what they call the tribulation. And if you read the book, you'll discover you don't want to be around for it. You want to make a decision for Christ. Jesus has entrusted his mission to God's children to carry out his rescue mission. We're not to keep it a secret. The torch has been passed. The pilot light is lighted, and we'll be equipped into a roaring fire. Be ready. So in conclusion, what are you waiting for? If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would you do today? Would you rush to tell your family? Were you been hesitant in the past, afraid of a little bit of antagonistic responses? Or would you value their life more important than the little bit of bruising of your ego? Well, let's do it. Tell them before it's too late. Why not start today? Don't wait for it, because it will be too late. What are you waiting for? You don't want them to be left behind. Amen. I think it's a wonderful message, actually. The thought of being able to share the good news sooner than later and get a response, knowing that God's got his plan, and maybe it's sooner than you think, isn't it? One of the joys we have once we kind of make the decision who Jesus is in our life is we have a chance to stand and declare. On this Sunday service, we call it the Apostles' Creed. Would you stand with me and share what we believe is true? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's one of those things I know you've probably already committed it to memory, but you could be going out for a walk on a beautiful day, and it wouldn't be such a bad thing to remind yourself of what you believe. I'm going to ask you now to join me in prayers of the people. You may want to sit or be comfortable, whatever way you would like to pray. We've got lots of concerns, but Ascension Sunday and the Pentecost Sunday around the corner, we should be aware of what's going on right now in Israel is prophetic. Israel needs a permanent government. So I'm going to ask you to pray that we get this resolved. Israel and Italy have a lot in common. They both start with an I. They also start with terrible governments. They cannot settle. We need a government that pursues righteousness and is not being held by Jewish or Muslim extremists. And there are extremists on both sides. They're being held hostage. We get terrible results. Leaders on all sides need to know that there is divine wisdom and the desire to seek the common good for people. They put the wisdom of God in place of what they have in their heart, which is usually hate and hurt. So, Father, we pray for the people of Israel that they do indeed receive a government that is righteous, dedicated to you, seeking your wisdom for the common good of all the people in the region. We pray for the people of Gaza. Gaza is part of Israel, and they need to be free from the oppressive rule of Hamas. Hamas, Lord God, we know, you know, is dedicated to the killing not only of the Jews and the wiping out of the state of Israel, but they don't mind killing their own people to do it. Both Jews and Arabs need healing of past and profound wounds in order to begin the process of reconciliation, Lord, and we ask you to make them aware of the past and reduce that to history and begin a new process. In the body of Yeshua, you and I, Lord, those of us across this nation of Canada and across the world, needs the opportunity to let his voice be heard in Israel leadership. There are Christians in the Canadian and the Israeli government. Not very many, but there are present. Uphold those, Lord Jesus, who know you as Lord and Savior, and give them the opportunity to speak about peace and love and concord. And Father, as believers, we're called to intercede, commanded by the Lord to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's in the scriptures. We pray for the welfare of his land and the people, all the people. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the Lord to once again defend his people against the assaults of the evil one. We pray for God's promises to save his people from their enemies. We pray that more Jewish people come to faith in Yeshua. More people returning to their God. That they open their hearts to the true Messiah, Yeshua. We pray for Israel's leaders to turn to God and to seek divine wisdom and strategy to know how best to avoid retaliation. Pray for the protection of all the peoples in the land. Father, you know the concerns of each person sitting here and those people that are online. The concerns they have for family members who need your help and your intervention. We take a moment now and ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.